Hello and welcome to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host Bernie Crooks from the law firm Littman Crooks. We're based right here in White Plains, and we've also got offices in Fishkill, New York and in New York City. Or you can visit us online at littmancrooks.com. Today our guest is Susan Hendler from Sociable Kids. Welcome, Susan.
Thank you very much.
It is so nice to have you on the show. And I guess Susan will start with telling us, what is Sociable Kids?
Sociable Kids is a social skills group for children ages 4 to 15, for kids who are on or off the spectrum who need a little bit of help learning some social skills, whether they are extremely shy and don't know how to have a conversation with another child, or they're being bullied or teased at school or at camp and just need some techniques to learn how to stick up for themselves.
Being a father of four, and I understand you're also a parent of four. I think we all know that everyone, not only kids, can use a little help in socializing.
Yes.
But what's unique about kids with special needs? What special challenges do they present?
A lot of the children that I see at Sociable Kids have very low self-esteem, and they have low conversational skills. So what I teach them is I teach them a lot of confidence about themselves, how to feel good about themselves. So within our groups, every session, we meet 1 hour a week, we teach the kids how to give compliments to each other, how to give and receive compliments, how to write compliments, and we also teach them how to have a conversation with another child.
Is the low self-esteem, do you think, in a direct correlation to the fact that they have a disability?
I think a lot of these kids don't have a lot of confidence in themselves. It could be because of their disability. Some of them come in without any friends because they just don't know how to make a friend. And so they come in either with their disability, you know, just hindering them, and they don't know how to converse with somebody else. So we give them some tricks and techniques, and we role play all the time. So they practice with us, and then they take it out into the real world.
Now, you mentioned it's primarily or exclusively for kids on the spectrum.
It's for kids on or off the spectrum. And within our groups, nobody knows what anybody has.
So a child who might just have a developmental disability and is shy would also be welcome?
Yes.
And I've heard of other types of expressive types of therapy, music, and art. How does your program differ, or does it differ from these programs?
Well, we also have an expressive art class, and what we do with that is we bring the kids together and we learn about an artist, and then we do an art project where they're expressing themselves through their social skills, where it's a conversation, or they might be doing a sculpture, where they're trying to express themselves. It's not about learning how to be the best artist, but it's how they feel, trying to be positive about themselves, where again, we'll do compliments about their artwork, everybody goes around their group giving positive compliments. It's all about feeling good about yourself.
And when a parent comes to you, is there some apprehension on their part, or are they already ready to go by the time they see you?
Some parents don't want other parents to know their child is coming to us. Some parents want us to talk to their teachers in the class so the teachers can be our eyes and ears for us. Are the skills really working? It just depends on the situation of the parent and the child and where they're coming from.
All right, so tell us a little bit about the program. Do kids go every day, once a week?
It's once a week. We're only open on Tuesday evenings and Saturdays, and it's an 8-week program. And some of the children I've had since the beginning, we've been open for about 16 or 17 months, and we've become their support group. Other kids just stay for 8 weeks, and then they move on.
Now, after 8 weeks, the problem is cured?
It depends on the parent and the child. If the parent's following through at home, we give each child a binder, and within the binder, there is a social story that I write for the kids for each session, and I encourage the parent to read the social story once or twice a week with the child to kind of review what we've been doing. We also give the child a little note card each week, which it kind of highlights the top three things we did that session. And again, we encourage them to review it at home. We also, at the end of each session, the kids have written compliments to each other. I again ask the parent to put the compliments up at home, so when the child wakes up each morning, they have these compliments up and they read them, so they feel good about themselves before they go to school or to camp. And we also give the children a journal where we write questions to them every day, because we have found that the kids can't remember socially what happened each week. So if they're following through at home and they're following through with us in class, these skills, they'll learn them quicker. It just depends on if there's follow through.
I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. Our guest this week is Susan Hendler, the owner of Sociable Kids. And we're talking about how to make children with special needs more expressive and to communicate better. And I guess one thought I had was a lot of kids on the spectrum are nonverbal. Do you work with those types of children as well?
We do. In the beginning, they're very shy when they come to us, and we make it fun for them. You know, we always start with a game when the kids first arrive, or we have Legos out, and one of the teachers will try to get them involved in a conversation. And since some of our kids have been with us from the start, they kind of take these kids under their wing, and then they'll try to get them in a conversation. And no matter what our topic is for the week, we play games with them, and we always do role plays. And in the beginning, they're shy, but once they see myself or my other teacher get up and act it out and we have fun with it, they want to join in, and they see the other kids get up. So by the end of the hour, they're up joining in with us and having a good time.
So actually, some of these students are actually assistant teachers.
Yes, they are. They really are.
Do you ever have a kid not work, where you try and try and just the child won't participate?
It happens. It happens. I like to give them, I encourage the parent to stay for at least three sessions.
Because three 8-week sessions?
Three sessions within the 8 weeks.
Okay.
You know, just staying 1 hour, it's not going to happen. But at least give us three hours with your child to try it. And, you know, some kids just aren't willing, you know, to let go, you know.
And is there an age where it's a sweet spot? I said, what ages did you mention?
We start at 4 in preschool and go up to 15.
Right, so is there a time when it's really right or too late?
It's never too late. It's never too late. I mean, it can happen at any time. There's no sweet age, sweet spot. It helps with all the kids.
So if a parent's got a 14-year-old and they just heard about you, it's not
come
too late.
Join us. No, it's not too late.
How'd you get into this field?
Well, as you said, I have 4 children. I have 4 boys, and I have 3 that have special needs. And I just found that they needed something else. They were having some social issues, and I needed to help them. And there wasn't anything else out there run by teachers. There are speech pathologists that do social skills and doctors that do social skills, but I'm a teacher, and so when I put this together, I am a teacher who writes the lessons. I write lessons for the kids within the group. So if you were to join us, I'd have you fill out a questionnaire, and I'm writing lessons each week based on the needs of the children within your group.
Susan, there have to be hundreds, if not thousands, of parents in Westchester County who are frustrated by not only their child's lack of progress in school, but also their inability to communicate. But something had to be different about you where you actually started something and did something about it. I mean, how did you just start this?
I'm a teacher, and I've been teaching for 20 years, and I just felt there was a need for this. I do it in my classroom with the compliments and the social skills, and if there's a problem within my own classroom and a child's being teased or someone's bothering him or her, I encourage this child to use I statements and go back and tell the person, and I bring that into Sociable Kids.
All right, let's talk about that a little bit. When I was growing up, I always recall in some of the classrooms there were kids that were different. Mm-hmm. And back then, there were no labels. It just everybody knew that Charlie was different than everybody else, and some kids made fun of them, and some didn't. And now today, I think there's a heck of a lot more social awareness to the issues on the part of teachers and parents and kids. And with the autism rate now being 1 in 70 boys and 1 in 100 children, I think society now recognizes this is something that we've got to deal with. But there's still bullying, isn't there?
There is bullying going on out there.
So
yes.
What happens? Give me a typical thing of what can happen in a classroom.
In a classroom, anything could happen. You know, someone could take someone's pencil and they get upset about it, and then they come and they're crying. And what I encourage is for the child to tell the other child how they feel. You know, kids today don't do that. They need to use their I statement. I'm upset because you took my pencil. Let's solve this together. And that's what I bring to sociable kids. Children today, as well as adults, we need to stick up for ourselves in a kind voice and just say, I'm upset with what you're doing. You know, let's try to figure this out together. And I always give the kids at Sociable Kids an example. As an adult, let's say I get my hair cut and a colleague of mine says, wow, Susan, I don't like your haircut. That could bother me all day if I let it bother me. But if I empower myself and say to myself, I like my haircut, and if I say to my colleague, you know what, I like my haircut and I really don't care what you think about my hair, and walk away, then I've empowered myself and said to this person, you know what, you're not teasing me, you're not bullying me. And I use that with the kids and they say, you know what, you're right. So I teach the children you have to use your I statements and just let someone know how you feel. And that's one of the techniques I use for bullying. We go over endlessly I statements, different ways to say, I don't like what you're doing, I want you to stop. We use humor with a bully. The kids, we come up with jokes. If a child has one or two jokes on the tip of their tongue when somebody is mean to them, the bully will step back and be like, what? What did you just say? And then our children walk away. You know, they said a joke and they'll walk away. Little tricks of the trade that our kids don't have. You know, I give them four or five tricks to use when they're teased or bullied. And then they're good to go. They're good to go.
Our guest this week is Susan Hendler from Sociable Kids, and we're talking about bullying. Now, Susan, there's got to be a difference between a 6-year-old bully and a 15-year-old bully.
Yeah, different it gets issues. Worse when they're in middle school.
Yeah, so
school.
Can you solve the problem with a middle school 15-year-old bully?
In middle school, more of my kids, when we come together, we become really their coach and their support group. And what's been nice with the middle school kids is that when we come together weekly, they come with all their issues that have been going on. And the kids start solving each other's problems together, and they realize they're not the only one going through it. And I have kids that come from schools all over Westchester County. And that's what's been really nice. I mean, I could even sit there for the hour and just give some tips, and the kids are talking nonstop together. And that's what's been so nice about it. And yes, they can start learning from each other. They have been sticking up for themselves, and that's what's been wonderful.
Obviously, you're an expert and trained in this, and the parents who have kids in your classroom are very fortunate because certain that bullying is not tolerated. But what about all the other classrooms in Westchester and other counties, surrounding counties? A lot of times, I understand bullying really isn't brought to the teacher's attention, and it might happen in the hallway or the bathroom or somewhere else, and the kid is afraid to say anything because he's told by the bully, if you do, then X is going to happen.
Right, right. Well, the kids need to start learning how to stick together in groups, and they need to start empowering themselves with their I statements. And the new program that we're coming up with at Sociable Kids is we're going to hopefully start to go into schools with a Sociable Kids coach and start teaching the teachers how to teach their children positive compliments, and even do, if we can, a lesson in a classroom with kids so they can start sticking up for themselves.
Do you think teachers will be receptive to that?
I sure hope so.
I mean, I hope there's
really
not a
do.
Question of, oh, this is my classroom, don't tell me how to run it.
I hope so. I hope so. I want to do some in-service. I want to hire my teacher out from Sociable Kids to be able to go into districts to do that, a half day in service, and teach them, at least teach them positive compliments. If we could be more positive in the world, and what a better place it would be.
Now, is this a service that would be paid for by the school district, or the parent of the child who's being bullied would hire you?
I'm hoping from the school districts.
So it will be a form of related service, perhaps?
I'm hoping. That's my new idea.
I mean, that would be quite interesting because they do have physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, even behavioral therapy.
School districts are bringing in service in all the time.
I mean, because bullying, if it happens, I mean, doesn't it have a lasting impact on the child?
It does. And a lot of kids that I see are so impacted by it. Their self-esteem is so low when they come to me. One bully is all it takes for a child just to feel so bad about themselves. And they may not tell their parents that they've been bullied. They may not eat, they may not want to go out, they may not want to play with their friends. It just takes one parent, one person to upset them. And I'll tell you, when I'm at home and something happens to one of my kids, I'll know something's up because they won't be themselves. and then I'll have to dig it out of my kids. And usually about bedtime, that's when I'll hear about a story of something happened at school.
The same day?
The same day. I know, because I'm so in tune with my kids. I'll know. I'll be able to dig it out of my child that night.
And you're able to connect with the bullier?
Well, if the bullier is at sociable kids.
But if there's a bully with one of my kids,
then I'll have to call the school.
Right, and the child who's doing the bullying responds to these techniques?
Actually, it happened at camp with one of my kids this summer, and I asked to go in and talk to the camp director and my child and the bully. And the camp director, all of us sat down together, and we tried to figure it out.
And including the parent?
The camp director had called the parent before and said, was it okay if we all sit down together? Because the mother was working, and she said okay.
And what do you do if the parent says, well, my kid's not the problem, your kid's a wimp, and grow up?
I guess the camp director would have to solve it. I don't know.
Yeah, because I think sometimes parents are in denial about, you know, their own kids. Yeah. And, well, my kid's such a good boy, he would never do that. So this whole issue of bullying, I guess, has just been part of school systems forever and ever. And I think it's wonderful that you're doing something about it. But that's not all you do, is it?
No, that's not all I do. I mean, we work on just basic conversational skills. I have kids that go to birthday parties and just stand in a corner. They don't know how to integrate into a group. So we teach them, how do you talk to someone? How do you say hello to somebody? We teach kids good sportsmanship. I mean, whatever problem socially a child is having, I will write a lesson and I will teach your child how to get through it.
How do parents find out about you?
I have ads in the local parent magazines or just by word of mouth. We've been open now, you know, almost a year and a half. So just kind of, it's out there.
And is the business growing?
The business is growing, yes.
And mostly from word of mouth?
Mostly from word of mouth, I would say.
So someone finds out about you, they go to the program, they're satisfied with the results, and then they tell others?
They kind of tell others. We're working now with local SEPTAs to try to get the word out there also, so people know about us.
How many teachers do you have?
Right now it's just myself and another teacher, because it is part-time for us, because I do have my day job. So hopefully someday.
And that's why you said it was Tuesday?
It's Tuesday evenings and Saturdays.
Now, we talked a little bit about expressive art. How does that fit into the whole arena here?
It's just another medium to help kids work on their social skills. You know, a lot of kids love the arts and crafts area, so that's why we came up with this program. And I thought a twist on it is to teach them about different artists. And so we do painting, we do sculptures, we just talked about an artist, Michael Albert, who did all these cutouts of words from cereal boxes. We did that on Saturday, so the kids were writing down words that about themselves. You know, I'm good at golf, I'm good at swimming. And then they brought those home. We did Jackson Pollock. We expressed ourselves by throwing paint when we were angry outside onto a canvas, different things like that. Another class we're offering in the fall is going to be table tennis through conversation. I have a table tennis at Sociable Kids. We're going to have four kids take the class at a time, and we're going to teach them table tennis while they're having conversations with each other. So we can talk about, you know, how are you today? Just conversational skills. And within that, I could do some teasing with them. I could do some bullying and also teach them hand-eye coordination and good sportsmanship.
When you say table tennis, you mean ping pong?
Ping pong. Mm-hmm.
What is it about ping pong?
Kids love ping pong. They love ping pong.
So you have a ping pong table?
I have a ping pong table at Sociable Kids, yes.
And that facilitates conversation?
I'm going to put conversation into it. It's my new class I've just created. I created it for two reasons. One, Rob Bernstein from Autism Speech was having a ping pong tournament for our autistic kids coming up. And my son in Rybrook, my son Lucas remembered in Rybrook last year they had ping pong going on. They had a store with ping pong tables in the winter. And we were there the other day and he said, where's the ping pong? I said, it's gone now. And I thought, well, why don't I make this a class? Because kids love ping pong. So I'm going to teach them how to play it, but let's bring in the social skills with it. So they're going to learn good sportsmanship and how to have a conversation. Because I have a lot of kids that just don't know how to make a friend.
So yeah, I think that's the biggest issue for kids with special needs.
Yeah.
A lot of them can relate better to adults, but not necessarily
each other,
their peers.
Yes.
So when two kids come in, and obviously both very shy and not talking, how do you dip the toe in the water?
Well, we have games that we play. I have a ball where we roll it to each other, and there's questions on there, funny questions, so they get the conversation started.
Right.
And then I have little dice with feelings on it, so I might roll it to you. Any little tricks I have, I make it fun for the children, games. So they're not realizing what they're doing, but it's all through games, interactive games for the kids.
So it's not like they come in and say, okay, Charlie, you talk to Sammy and do
no.
it. Do it now.
No, no. We have an eye contact game where we'll stare at each other because a lot of the kids can't make eye contact when they talk to somebody. So for about 30 seconds, you're going to have to stare at me and talk about your favorite video game, and I'm going to time you. Or we'll use mirrors because a lot of times kids don't know what they look like when they're talking to somebody else. And when they see themselves in the mirror, they're all like, oh my gosh, that's what I look like when I talk to somebody? So we use all sorts of tricks.
Yeah, I think people are always amazed at what they sound like or what they look like on a videotape.
That's right.
So the fact that you see yourself one way but perceive yourself another way somehow facilitates talking?
It helps the kids, yes, it does.
Even somebody who's previously nonverbal?
Yes, yes.
And then when they start talking, does it just, the floodgates open up or is a little?
Slowly. They really start opening when we do the role plays. Because I'll come up with situations at recess, because that, to the children, that's the hardest part of the day at school. That's where most of the social problems happen. And then I'll come up with like a swing set scenario, or in the cafeteria, no one's sitting next to you, where you're gonna sit, especially for middle schoolers. And so they like to act things out the wrong way. We always start the wrong way, and they're laughing and laughing and laughing, and then we do it the right way. And that's where these kids start talking.
What makes it so difficult, what makes recess so difficult compared to the rest of the day?
Because some of our children won't have a friend to go outside to play with, and they don't know how to get in that group, so I'll teach them some skills. I have little keychains that say, hi, hello, my name is so-and-so. They'll carry them with them at school in their pocket so no one will see it, and they'll touch it, and they'll remember, oh, right, Susan taught me what to say, or they'll peek at it. So when they're outside at school at recess, they'll remember that I'm there with them. And that'll help them go and make a friend.
So when they're in the classroom, it's more structured and...
Hopefully, if they have the right teacher.
But when they go out to recess, the sort of the friendly
they're
groups...
Kind, there's
the
no structure,
form,
right.
Right, so they're right. required on their own to... have some type of interaction.
Right, and I'm hoping by having one of our, my other teacher go into schools, that would be the place to train the teacher's aides that go out with the kids at recess to give them some structure and kind of get the kids involved together and watch out for the bullying that goes on at recess.
And this would be done once a week?
The in-service?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I haven't really thought it out yet.
I mean, for it to be effective, you can't do it once and be done, right?
I haven't really thought it out yet.
Yeah, because I think that would be terrific. Just having, witnessed my kids at recess and others, there is a tendency for people to hang out with the same kids and
right.
not interact with others. And
right.
certainly a child with an issue communicating
right.
I have a very tough time.
Right. Like my son's going into sixth grade, and there's no recess in sixth grade, and he's so excited to go to sixth grade just for that reason.
Because he doesn't have to worry about what he's going
to
do.
He doesn't have to worry about recess. Yeah. It's a hard time.
The fact that a child on the spectrum, does that make him or her more of a target for bullying?
Yes, I definitely think so. Because one thing is, when they come into sociable kids, children that are on the spectrum are more apt, just physically the way they stand. I'm always telling them you have to stand tall and be proud and confident no matter how you feel. You might feel terrible that day, but you have to stand tall so you're not going to be a target, because they come in slouching or they're not feeling good or whatever it is. So I teach them every time they're with me, sit up tall, stand up tall, because that way you're confident in yourself. They're just...
So the fact that they don't present well
exactly.
in the eyes of others,
exactly.
or even in their own eyes, it
right.
might make them more of a target to a bully.
Right. Or they're fidgeting a lot, I might put Velcro under the table, so they're touching something during class, because a lot of times during class, they're biting their nails, or they have to play with something, but this way under the table, it's less likely for someone else to see it.
As opposed to on top of
exactly.
the table.
Exactly. So then everyone's not staring at them in class. Because in class, in a classroom of 23 kids, it's more noticeable.
And then you're actually putting a target on your back?
Exactly. Exactly. But if it's under the table and you're touching it, no one's really going to see it.
Right. So I guess if I had to ask you to put it down into a couple of tips, if you parents out there who might be listening to this show, and they're hopefully they're aware, they may not be as astute as you, the kids coming home and all of a sudden not talking about school one day, you know, it's unlikely they're going to say, Mom, I was bullied today.
Right.
But assume they get over that issue and they know they have a problem, you know, what are some steps they can take?
One, they need to be very positive with their kids. I keep a little container at home and I wrote up little positive compliments for my four boys. Like if I see them take their dish to the dishwasher, I'll give them a little compliment. And it's all written out already and it just says like, good job today. And I'll say, oh, good job, honey, this is for you. Because our kids need to genuinely feel good about themselves. So if they wrote a little compliments and just kept them in the kitchen in a little bowl and just handed them out when they truly deserved it, so the kids start feeling good about themselves. That's one really good technique. And start teaching your kids I statements. You know, they need to start expressing themselves. If they get upset with mom or dad about something, they need to express it. Well, why are you upset and how can we solve this together? And I would teach them a joke or two. So if somebody is mean to them in school, give them a joke and teach your kid to walk away. It stops the bully right in their tracks.
So if you tell a bully a joke, they go away.
They look at you stunned, and they'll stop. And you, as the person telling the joke, just kind of tell the joke and walk away. Because in that instant, they're, whatever bully thing they're doing to you, they're going to stop and listen to the joke and be like, what? And you just walk away.
And does the bullying come back the next day, or this solves the problem?
If they come back the next day, you tell them another joke or you say, hey, I don't like what you're doing. I want you to stop right now.
Boy, that takes a lot of courage.
It takes a lot of courage. And that's why we practice it over and over and over.
It sounds like these techniques would work in everyday lives of people without special needs or typical children.
It also works with adults. I was in Las Vegas 2 weeks ago at a teaching conference presenting about sociable kids, and I had a teacher come up to me afterwards, an adult, and she had tears in her eyes, and she said, Susan, I'm going to use some of these techniques with my husband. And I said, okay, good.
Do you know if they worked?
I haven't heard anything yet, but I was like, okay, that's great. I didn't want any more details.
I mean, just thinking about it, they sound like good ideas.
They sound like good ideas. They are good ideas.
I'm just wondering if my wife buys a new dress and asks me, honey, do I look fat in it? What do I say?
Well, you know, hopefully you're not going to say that she looks fat in it. But you have to, when somebody does say something to us as adults, especially women, it sticks in our head. You know, we have to be empowered to push it back on the person. So, and there are some good resources for parents to go to. Julia Cook is a good author for younger children. She has a lot of books out on bullying that are really good books for younger kids to read with their parents. And Trevor Romaine has very good books and videos for older kids to look at. Like I have a book right here called Bullies Are a Pain in the Brain. It's an easy read for the older kids. I have the DVDs. I've even showed clips of them to the older kids in middle school, and they love them.
Now, you're showing these to the kids that are being bullied or the kids that are
doing... As part of my lessons at Sociable Kids for the middle school kids.
To show them how to deal with it?
Yeah, as an example of how to deal with it. It's comical, they're funny. I'll show them little pieces, excerpts from the books, little chapters. They like these things.
And after, tell me about what a kid feels like after he's conquered this.
It feels very good. They feel very good about themselves. And then when they do leave Sociable Kids, they have this big binder of all of the social stories that I've written for them and the index cards with all the little techniques on them. So they have it. So if something does arise in their life that they can't remember what technique I taught them, they have the binder at home.
Yeah, because that's the key. Unless something becomes a habit and ingrained in your personality,
right.
You're just going to go back, in most cases, to what you used to do.
Exactly.
Whether it's golf or bullying
right.
or anything.
Right.
It has to become part of your fabric.
Right.
So do you really think you can get enough repetition in where 6 months from now another bully comes along and they can repeat it?
Well, I've had some kids come back. They'll leave Sociable Kids and then 4 months later come back just for a refresher and then go back out.
And that takes care of it.
And that's good.
Turn the tables a little bit quickly. Let's say you're the parent of a child who's doing the bullying.
I've had that.
What do you do?
I've had that. I've had a bully come into Sociable Kids, and he didn't realize how he was affecting the other kids. And when he sat in our group and heard how upset the other kids were by it, then he kind of changed his tune. He didn't understand how he was really affecting the other children. And he stopped.
Our guest this week is Susan Hendler from Sociable Kids. And Susan, we're going to wrap up now, but before we do, I just want to give the listeners the opportunity to learn how to get in touch with you. Do you have a website, phone number?
Yes, we have a website. It's www.sociablekids with a Z.
So sociablekids, one word, with a Z,
.com.
Okay?
And my phone number is 914-502-3295.
I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. Our guest this week has been Susan Hendler from Sociable Kids. I want to thank Susan for being on the show.
Thank you so much for this opportunity.
It was a pleasure to have you. And until next time, so long, everyone.
Thank you.